Good evening, it's your friend Dan. And it's, you know, March the 22nd, 2023. Yes, it is. It's March the 22nd, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc. Just after 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Utah. Yes, the mountains closing down for the night. The grizzly bear is going to sleep. They're gonna give up that chase. The chase for pussy. The chase for food. The chase for water. The chase for life. Yeah, but they're going to sleep now. Yeah. As I've mentioned in recent weeks, I'm trying to move away from the news for lots of reasons. Of all the reasons I'm trying to eschew the news, unless it's that rare article that makes you go, And might be kind of funny, although usually it's like an example of the human wreckage of the grompulous beast that calls itself Homo sapiens in its universal train wreck, like an Ouroboros train wreck eating its own wreck. Yeah, that's usually the article, ain't it? You know? The great Ouroboros train wreck? The great human Ouroboros train wreck is a thing. It's where people fall in love. It's where they find themselves. It's when they find their true lover, their future wife or husband, in some fucking train wreck. And fucking train wreck. Anyways. The news is crap. I've been saying this, you know this. It's probably always been true, but the level to which it is being used to manipulate people at this point is in my opinion, so awful that I'm not going to pay it any respect. You know, it's like the Trump thing. This is what I'll say. I don't know if he was arrested, if he'll be arrested. I don't care about his arrest. It is trauma drama you don't need. Hunter Biden's laptop. Nothing is ever going to happen. He's never going to get nothing, punishment, nothing. I was here in my 20s when the traveling Clinton roadshow of the infinite human train wreck started, and nothing, nothing, nothing has ever happened to those pieces of shit. Can we just clear that shit up? So I don't care if it's true. Like, the Hunter stuff might be true. I don't care if it's bullshit. Like, a lot of the stuff related to COVID and the Ukraine war and the race war nonsense and whatever this week's, you know, social justice warrior nightmare involves, I don't give a fuck. That is your daily drama trauma you need because you're afraid to embrace the possibility that something, you know, bad enough that the powers that be would gaslight billions of people for more than 3 years is on the horizon. And best case scenario, it's the collapse of the dollar. Best case. And I'm thinking every day that looks less and less likely as what's going to happen. You know. Lies this big don't generally hide good things, brothers and sisters. They don't. And in my opinion, if this was about the collapse of the dollar, number one, they wouldn't have done trauma-based mind control because this only makes the outcomes worse. They would have done something like pyramids on Mars. They discovered it's November the 1st, 2019. There's pyramids on Mars. The aliens love us. Here's a cure for cancer. Sure, we haven't been sitting on it for 50 years. 'Cause the aliens, they'll give us a rocket ship. And they'll name it love. Yeah. If this was the collapse of the dollar, if this was the reset, if they were going to want to move us to some new world currency or whatever, they wouldn't have done trauma-based mind control, psyops. It's the wrong match. I mean, maybe they're that fucking stupid, but it's quite literally like pouring gasoline on a fire. They would have done something like pyramids on Mars. And the aliens are coming. And they're our friends. And Starship Jesus. And maybe that would have been a whole different fucking tale. But that's not what happened. They gave us the monkey herpes COVID bullshit. They gave us the George Floyd race war bullshit. They gave us the never-ending Trump trauma drama bullshit. I mean, the list of shit designed to anger people, frustrate them, drive them crazy, that list gets longer and longer every fucking day. And it gets dumber and dumber. The best reason to not pay any attention to that garbage is because it is quite literally garbage and it's not good for you. Psychologically, metaphysically, not good for you. So if in the coming weeks, the only references to this nonsense are references you find on my blog, planetarystatusreport.com. But yeah, if I make a note of it, but it doesn't show up in a podcast, understand it's because I'm trying to conserve your brain cells. I'm trying to not be another asshole, to be honest with you. So maybe my podcasts are more whimsical. And if they're more whimsical and flimsical, I don't really care because this is the way Mandalorian. Yeah, this is the way. Yeah, I don't know what to say. That's enough of that. What if I told you my real name was Friedrich Lovkowski? Imagine Friedrich Nietzsche, Charles Bukowski, and H.P. Lovecraft. Imagine they're all traveling in separate starships. Yes, Friedrich Nietzsche and Charles Bukowski and H.P. Lovecraft. They're traveling in separate starships at 77 times the speed of light, Bo Blimpdoc. And they're heading towards the same location in space-time, a location where they will all collide. And then imagine they are all making love to their own planet's version of Scarlett Johansson. And the egg, as a side effect of relativity, is getting kind of fertilized. Okay, fuck you. Yes, imagine in this collision, the fertilized egg of Scarlet Nietzsche, the fertilized egg of Johansson, the fertilized egg of, H.P. Scarlet. Imagine that those three eggs are fused together, and then imagine that egg, through some kind of quantum mechanical bullshit, ends up in the vagina of some random woman in Skagit Valley, Washington in 1969, Bo Blimpdoc. Yes, that would be me. I am Friedrich Lovkowski, Nobody wants me over for dinner. I'm like the Jean-Claude Van Damme of distributed, nihilistic disillusion. That's with, you know, ghost pepper hyper sauce. Fuck you, Jean-Claude Van Damme. And it gives you bloody stool. And it gives you heartburn and anger. And nobody wants that for dinner, motherfucker, or over for dinner, or to serve man, you son of a bitch. There is loneliness out there for Lovkowski. There is sadness for poor little Friedrich. They will ponder the universe on the edge of oblivion. They will sit next to a collapsing star. They become star babies. They become star reality. They become star babies. When the time comes, right, bros and hoes? When the time comes, you must be ready to become a star baby. But never forget where you come from, you son of a bitch. There's been a lot of talk about food and what we'll eat, but I have to hearken back to when I was a kid and those home-cooked meals, the ones that warm you up on the inside. I remember waking up a Sunday morning and having those sweet, tasty cricket eggs. My grandma would be up all night making those cricket eggs. And no one could make those eggs like her. They tasted just like home, you know what I mean? Spend some time making coolie cakes. She'd spend some time on coolie cakes. And if we were lucky, we would get creosote paste for the Drigg sausage. It's hard to imagine anything better. It was her love that made it happen with those cricket eggs. I remember Saturday meals at Uncle Cleftus. He'd make McNuggets from scratch. He'd spend all week gathering regasifiers and solvent baths and bleach sinks and freeze drying equipment. He'd usually pick the bigger hens from the coop and toss the whole chicken in, if you know what I mean. It would take about 30 minutes for the vacuum freeze dryer to fully desiccate the remains, and then the chicken gravel would be poured into the fine dust grinder. He would take the dust and bleach it post-solvent bath regasification. Once the powder had been bleached white, he'd add emulsifying agent and water to constitute as a white paste that he'd loaded into an injection molding system, which had 4 or 5 primary shapes, motherfucker. A brownish mix of sand and wood pulp and brown coloring would be sprayed on the side of them damn whole things, and then they'd be immediately fried, deep fried, till brown and toasty. And I used to think Cleftus put love into them McNuggets, and I think he did. I mean, that was from scratch, motherfucker. Motherfucker from scratch. Good old Uncle Cleftus making fresh McNuggets. Totally from scratch. One Saturday, Cleftus, you know, decided to try a different recipe handed down to him from, you know, an old-style, non-racist, southern-style Alabama grandma for McRib sandwiches. She would bake her own rolls from scratch, but it was the McRib that took a lot of the meal prep. The good news is that the McRib recipe is essentially the McNuggets recipe, but with, you know, different molds for the injection system, slightly different outer coatings, slightly different cook cycle, bleaching agents, and solvent bath are not necessary for the McRib. That's good news. Just an old-fashioned treat from the good old days. Can you remember when your grandpa or uncle or mom or dad would make you a fresh-cooked meal like that? Those are the good old days, bros and hoes. They're not around any longer, are they? They're just kind of gone. But that's okay. Double check time here real quick. Doing okay on time actually today, which is funny because the other day I went way over time. I might be just right about on time with this one. Who knows, huh? I get a lot of people contacting me about keywords I use, like the Bouvula. Okay, spelled Bravo, Oscar, Oscar, Victor, Uniform, Lima, Alpha. Okay, that's how Bouvula is spelled. And people will ask me, Dan, what's a Bouvula? Where is it located? What's it connected to? Tell me the story of life. You know, no, I'm not going to do that. That was your parents were supposed to do that. I'm not doing that. If you don't know what a Bouvula is at this point in your life, I can't help you. Okay? That's not a word I'm going to help you with. There's lots of words. Like people will say, and I'm actually really fucking tired of it. I'm so tired. People be asking me, where's Scompton? Like, where is Scompton? Where's Scompton located? Where is Scompton, you nasty, nasty fuck? It's that place in the heart where the fuel kings keep time and the old whiskey warden watches as inmates prepare seal wine and crisper steak. Those people bake bread from street bones and make raccoon pudding. That's Scompton. That's a place to live. They drink the milk of eagles and owls and harvest nagweed from off the reservation. That's Scompton. Yeah, it's a nice place. Yeah, those people, us, we're the kind of folk you don't touch because we're greasy and smelly and we'll take you for a ride. You don't have the stomach to spend time in Scompton yet, but time's coming, brother, sister. Time's a-waiting, sister, brother. Time is a tall snake in a nice suit, looking askance at your snail shoes and ready to pounce. That's where Scompton is. About 15 miles, maybe a half an hour down the road, motherfucker. Scompton's not far. You can see it in every homeless, you know. Homeless encampment. There's a little bit of Scompton. So stop asking me about motherfucking Scompton, motherfucker. Stop. I'm so tired of people asking me about Grinkentown or Grinkentime. If you knew, you know. If you don't know, you're a misled little shit turd heading down south to Guatemala on a trash donkey. You fucking shithead. This is the time of year when the last of the woodland wench widows streves herself and prepares her Bouvula for, you know, conguanulation. the ultimate act of complete sexual oneness with all life and creatures in the forest. At this moment, Lop Nuns hand out dynamite to little kids so they can have some fun too. All the kids and dogs and adults wander the land in search of tired old hobos and other bums and beat them senselessly so that all lessons are taught. That's Grinkin' time. You ready for it? But you ask me about Grinkin' time again and I'll bust that beer bottle in your fat, smug face. I'm shit-ass tired of hearing, "What's Bo Blimtok, Dan? I'm confused." I'm confused about Bo Blimtok. You had a podcast called The Great Discontinuity. You know, that was confusing, but now you call it Bo Blimtok. Oh, I'm confused about Bo Blimtok. You know, I know you're confused, hooker bitch. You sit in your studio apartment in downtown Scompton, drinking your Grinkin' Time style mint freezy as your boyfriend paints your nails for your next YouTube or TikTok video. I see your lurid dreaming and I watch you at night. My drones are everywhere, in your underwear drawer, in your shower. I have an army of genital crabs heading someplace special just for you, asking me, "What is Bo Blimtok, Dan?" I will come to your hole edge and steal your monkey dildo. I will toss old tire wax into your blower and watch you all go crazy, not finding the burning end. The burning end of tomorrow. That is Bo Blimtok. And you're living in it, baby. Bo Blimtok is the soul-destroying age when all your fears are loaded into some t-shirt cannon and then fired all directions so that every squirrel and bee can take that pollen oil to the squib zone of Gaia's butt crack and achieve total oneness with the dolphin armies of Goonda. That is also Bo Blimtok. Bo Blimtok is the time when your own cuddle scum mixes to make babies. They're called shit babies. And those shit babies go to public school and learn how to live like shit people. And those shit people take shit jobs and make shit money. And after all this shit happens, their shit lord starts some shitty nuclear war and all the land turns to shit. That is also Bo Blimtok, you motherfucking shithead. Bo Blimtok is an age of freaks. All the freaks rule during Bo Blimtok, all the carnies, all the weirdos, all the edge outsiders, the crack hoarders, the people who come in through the wall at night and use their mind beams, the freaks rule Bo Blimtok. Yes, indeed. And their eyes glow red and green and are all fireball-like, like that meme. And the freaks rule over forever, forever, everything. The freaks take over all the normie zones west of Scompton. They get Farrah Fawcett. They get to keep Farrah Fawcett. Fuck Kirk Douglas. Fuck Harvey Keitel. Yes, indeed. Don't ask me the definitions unless you want to hear some long, drawn-out, angry speech about reality, because I'll give it to you, baby. I will. Just don't fucking ask me, am I right? People are being flushed all over the solar system, baby. All over it. Yep. A time of mystery. We live in a time of mystery, really. I mean, magical, magical mystery. See, Dan, no, everything's understood. We know everything. Do we, though? Do we know that much more than some gumptus freak that lived 1,000 years ago? Yes, we have the internet. We have a lot of porn. We have a lot of cool games. Yes, we got, you know, medical technology. They can fix your teeth. Yes, they can fix your teeth, but really, have we evolved that much? I can't tell you, brothers and sisters. I think we live in a kind of strange sort of shit zone sometimes. I don't know. It's like I said, the reason why I'm steering clear of the news is because every time I look at it, I think either this is some gigantic absurd joke or, you know, it might be still a joke, but the joke's on some people. I don't know. Joke's on you. Not sure I made sense there. I was in the midst of rapturous lovemaking as my mind blew a glove valve and my brain had a microaneurysm. I passed out and my hooker-style lover, Neela, grabbed cash from my wallet and left me there in my dank room. I went deep. I went real deep into the dark realm of self-divided. And my own train world revealed itself not far from Scompton. It kept whispering this mist into my ear, this ghostly thing that greets you on the edge of death. You gotta get back to Scompton. That's the mystery of the Titanic. You've got to get back to Scompton. Solve that fucking mystery before you die. But I didn't know. How could I? My body was slowly dying as I lay on that roach-covered bed. Kevin, my spirit guide, took me 12 miles deep into the Cave of Wonder. And he left me near the Pond of Daring. Out of that wretched subterranean pond crawled this thing, an eyeless man creature. His name was Smear. An eyeless, slimy thing. His name was Smear. Smear kept the secrets of Dirk Pid, the last lord of control before the fire vendors took over the Agora. You must go to Greenkin Island, but beware the ghost ship Titanic, screamed Smear. What did I know of Titanic? It was at the bottom of the fucking Atlantic, deep down in all that shit muck. Dirk Pid? Who the fuck has that name? I heard Greenkin Island was off limits because of the great ska epidemic. Sure, it's off limits. But I can give you the key. The key to what? Dirk Pid. So that weird fucking cave person gave me a slimy and nasty shit-covered brass key. It was large and dramatically heavy. I set out on my mind journey as my body lay there quivering in the frustrated mortality. I found a trading post near the port of South Reamtown. The Reamers were strange folk who traded in squid bass and whale possum. The bodies of these nasty things were hung upside down to dry along the docks, the smell covering the harbor like a green fog, a cosmic denouement and farcical core meltdown. "You that freak from Jeffersontown?" An old sea mite barked at me from down on the wharf. His name was Captain Tor. "Yeah, I need a boat to take me to Grinkin Island." "Well, how big a boat we thinking?" "Oh, one big enough for me, my gear, my 22 hooker wives and their gear and dildos, and the mobile hot tub, and my pocket fisherman motherfucker." "That's a big party, but I have that boat for ye, I do." And at that, that funny old sea captain hopped and clicked his heels like some smelly brown leprechaun and led me down to the dock where his boat was, the Sea Grizzle, was kept. After about a day at sea, Captain Tor spotted land. "That's Grinkin Island, you fuck." Captain Tor pointed to the horizon, smiling toothless and gormless. Grinkin Island was going to be tricky. Too many bats and weasels. A few tribes of those, oh my God, this is going to sound racist, brown people, who we were told when we were young are savages and they'll rape your white women and steal all your craft beer. That's racist. And they were also cannibals and roasted your balls with tiger sauce and kestrel bones. Not as racist. These were the scroungiest denizens of this place just south of hell, where even the devil says, "Look, hun, let's keep driving. We can get gas down the road." "We'll moor the vessel off that point. Good anchorage for you and your hookers." It took a few trips, but I was able to get all my hooker wives ashore with the necessary gear. We built ourselves a fine bivouac near the tree line and started a roaring fire. Upon the tarps and rolled out bear rugs, we ungundulated ourselves, rubbing our naked bodies with pine grease and Hector soot. Berta would allow herself to form the center of the scrunch tree, and her enormous breasts or boobies would heave as the party went on. Our moans and groans filled up the night, and all the forest creatures came for a peek. The next morning, we awoke to the natives in the distance playing their infernal drums. The women folks enclasped themselves in scant leather armor and prepared to trek with the gear through the jungle towards our destination. Constanza, our chief hoguard, led our column, and her furious posture scared the meanest puma. "Fig maidens, halt!" Constanza halted our foray near the hidden jungle pyramid of H-Love, where the oil pits of Gilda are located, and a known place for busty maidens to strip naked and bathe their bodies in that greasy shit. At that moment, I awoke. At that moment, I woke up, you know, from that fucking aneurysm. Thank you, Jesus. I was there on my bed, shaking from some half-assed monkey fever and staring bleakly into the darkness when that ghost ship showed up. I had no fucking hooker wives. There was no magical island with savages on it that would do all sorts of things to our white women. Racist, and isn't that kind of racist? But that terrible ghost ship of the Titanic was headed my way to steer its way to my pleasure dome and shear away my heart shield. I could be vulnerable and let my heart muscle weaken for some tornado squaw from the reservation. That's kind of racist. She said she would love me and my robot army, but she lied and my brown gub flub flowed. I filled that porcelain hole and made the flush and lit the match for those poor souls who'd come later. I left the house dizzy, still suffering from the aneurysm, but that fiery ghost ship kept chasing me. I ran far to the north, deep into the mountains where the Wookiee people slept, but that damn ghost ship of the Titanic kept fucking chasing me. I could hear the cries of those sea banshees. They're chasing right behind me. They smell like rotten fish. They look like rotten tuna. Yes, indeed. I could hear their cries. They chanted this terrible ditty, and played tinny instruments as accompaniment as they chased after me to kill me. Skrig, skrig, feel fatigue. Run from our ghost ship, hide in shame. Brave the great sea and die so lame. Your steel minds are dull and tame. We will take your wives. We will take your sons and daughters. We will take your craft IPA. We will take you all to Bahamas Sea. And that was the song they sang as they chased me down the trail. It doesn't really matter because this shitty story is over. I don't know what to tell you about that. It's like somebody would say, Dan, that sounds like a personal problem. And on that note, I would agree. That does sound like a personal problem, doesn't it? And that was kind of gross, wasn't it? And a little bit racist. And you'd say, Dan, are you a racist? And my answer is, I'm not afraid of words and I'm not afraid of scenarios. And if it's fucking fiction, good or bad, if it's just storytelling, whether it's crappy or not, get the fuck over it. That's my general opinion on that topic at the moment. I think that history is rife with people being stupid about superficial features, like the color of your skin, or where you were born, or are you rich, or are you poor? I couldn't give a rat's ass. I care about people. It's kind of like what Martin Luther King said. It is about the content of your character. If you have a good character, it doesn't really matter where you're from or the color of your skin. But if you're a giant piece of shit, again, it's you being the dick if you want to blame the color of your skin. I'll just blame you for being a dick. And are there tribes of cannibals? Well, I think there still are. And I don't know if if a bunch of hipster freaks showed up on a camping trip in my jungle while my culture is being destroyed 7 days to Sunday, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of brutal, but yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's a judgment call. If you like this podcast, and I'm not sure why you would, But if you like this podcast and you want to donate to it, you can. I appreciate any kind of donation. I have to do some shopping tomorrow. So if you wanted to donate, you know, sooner rather than later, would be really helpful for tomorrow. But again, don't do it unless you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter. You've taken care of the people you love. You've taken care of yourself and the things you want. And if you're prepping by buying some food, make sure you're buying food for your pets. I kind of have a special place in my heart for dogs, but there are many kinds of pets. Be thinking about your pets. But if you've done all that and you still have money left over and you want to donate a few bucks to this crazy old fool, there's a PayPal link in the notes, on Spotify, in the notes, on my blog, planetarystatusreport.com. I know it's long. And you can click on the link. I'm not endorsing PayPal. They could very well cancel me. Who knows? But for now, that's how I can get money. At some point in the near future, maybe none of us get any money. I'm sorry. So like I said, take care of the stuff you need to take care of. But if you want to donate, baby, I could use it. I got to go shopping tomorrow. I got to go buy Scrumbo. I got to go buy Streeg. I got to go buy Flibbo Wax. I got to regurgitate my Gonzo. And for Wednesday, March the 22nd, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc. Almost 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time here in the great state of Utah. I hope you have a great rest of your evening. I hope you enjoy your friends and family. I hope you're nice to your cat.